Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Echanon, Erech Hafayim, Berech Chesed, V'Emes, Tzer Chesed, Lo Lachem Nasev, Ova Pesha, V'Chata, V'Nakei, V'Selachna Levaninu, L'Chatiseinu, N'Chatana. Okay, so in between the Yud Gimel Midas, the next Midah of Kinyan Torah is the Midah of Simcha. The Mishnah lists the Midah of Simcha, and there are many psukim and parts of our davening which reflect this. So, for example, we say in Vayomer Adonai Salachti Chidivarecha, we say in the Perek Lam Naseach, which we recite during Tefillah on Shabbos, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchele Mitzvas Hashem Bara Miras Enayim. The mitzvos and Talmud Torah are meant to create joy, and that's the great enigma of Torah, because I mentioned yesterday the fear and the awe and the distance, and yet the Ava, and that's what makes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu the most unique relationship, that both in our interaction with Him and in our interaction with His Torah, we can sense distance, mystery, as well as love and excitement, which normally comes from comprehending something. You don't normally have that in relationships to human beings. You either fear something or objects, or you love something. You either don't know something or you do know something, because Hashem is so different, and our interaction and interface with Him is defined by paradox, because we're two different beings. So that difference dictates that our interface will be composed of two contrary traits. The closest I came to understanding this is with Rav Lichtenstein, and we were in awe of him because of who he was morally, who he was as a tzaddik, but we also loved him. I mean, how could you have that distance and love together? So we had a taste of what that discrepancy is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're supposed to feel joy during Torah. A lot of you won't feel joy probably for the rest of your life, because we've all been wired to enjoy things that are relaxing and enjoy things that are fun and enjoy things that are recreational, and that's very deeply into your wire. I'll say you'll meet us in a few minutes. I think you should probably switch out the word happiness into the word fulfillment and meaning. When you study Torah, you feel fulfilled that you're tasting of eternity. When you see a movie that excites you 4 hours after you've seen the movie, it doesn't have any impact on your life. When you study something of value, all of a sudden it creates meaning. And meaning is something you take with you and changes your life. You become a richer person. Torah is the ultimate meaning because it's Hashem's values, not just human values. Adonai, Adonai, El Rachum Echanon, Erech HaPani Ber Chesed, V'Yemes, Netzer Chesed, Alechem Yaseh, Avon Gofesha, Lechata V'Nakei, V'Selachta Lavaninu, V'Lechataseinu, Nechaltanu. So therefore, Torah will probably not cause the joy of a barbecue or a braai or relaxation or day at the beach, but it may cause that meaning that creates fulfillment and gratification and depth, not just the distance. The Torah has to create both of those. That's what the Mishnah intends when it lists this concept of simcha. We daven every day. We make three brachas at Torah. One bracha to speak about the work and the toil, lasok b'divrei Torah, that's the first bracha. The last bracha is that we were chosen as a people to receive Hashem's Torah, shebachar banu mikol amim. The middle bracha has a lot of layers to it, but the primary layer is v'harivna Hashem Elokeinu. We want the Torah to be sweet, we want the Torah to be pleasant, we want the Torah to be enjoyable. And in life, you have to have that balance. When people leave yeshiva and they ask me, what Torah should I learn when I'm out of yeshiva, my typical answer is, learn whatever Torah you enjoy. Because if you lose that sense of joy in Torah, A, you probably won't learn Torah. B, even if you learn it, it won't adhere to the depths of your personality. The strongest trait within the human emotional system is happiness and joy. And if you can wed Avodas Hashem, and you can wed Torah to that level, it will probably last longer and be more durable and adhere more strongly. Chazal say in the Gemara in Shabbos that any mitzvah that the Jews accepted with happiness lasted longer. So Milo was a mitzvah that the Jews celebrated when they received it, so it's a mitzvah that has remained intact and durable because it adhere to the deepest level of human identity. Whereas mitzvahs that the Jews were a little bit bickering about and upset about, for example, Arayos, this week's parsha, last week's parsha, Chaimis Kedoshim, since they weren't happy when they heard about sexual limitations, so there were periods in Jewish history that the Jews failed to adhere properly to the laws of Nida, to the laws of foreign women in the days of Ezra. So by adhering Torah to the depths of your soul, it will last longer. So one of the ways which Chazal sends this is in the Pesukim I mentioned before, Pikudei Hashem Yesharim Misamchei Lev. Another pasuk is, David oftentimes refers to Torah as a plaything. Lulei Taras Chasha Ashuai, Az Hayiti V'Ani, if Torah weren't my plaything. So Vayavar Adonai al panav, vayikra. Adonai, Adonai, Arachum Mechanon, Erech Apani Rav Chesed, Miemes, Neretze Chesed, Lefen Nefri, Abon, Mabesh, Lechata, Benakti, Vesachta, Lavaninu, Lechata, Seiru, Lechatanu. So if David's referring to it as a plaything, then it's obviously something you enjoy and you get mental stimulation with and you like, and that's why we talk about Torah in very, very high levels of conversation, even like at the lunch table, well, did you hear this Rashbam? What can you make? And even sometimes those of you who are in my shir, I joke a lot when I give shir, because I really want to try to create Torah as an experience that's pleasant, that's not humorous in a flippant way, but that creates the sense of joy in areas that normally cause us joy, like humor and comedy and association. Now, this came to a head in the 19th century, where some people felt that the joy that Torah provides may erode some of the piety and the reverence that you have to bring to Torah. And it's a legitimate concern, because you have to create that middle space between reverence and awe and joy and pleasantness. If it's too much reverence, then there's no human joy, and you're an outsider. There's too much comedy, humor, and excitement, then it's all mental stimulation, intellectualization, and you can lose the piety. So the very famous sefer called the Iglei Tal. The Iglei Tal was a sefer written by Rabbi Avraham Bornstein, who lived in the 19th century. In his introduction, and I recommend reading the introduction, it's short enough that you can read it, he defends the importance of drawing joy from Torah. It's a very famous introduction that he felt that the Torah world was coming under fire for stressing the importance of joy, because it may have come at the cost of reverence and piety. So he defends the importance of joy in Torah along many of the lines that I just spoke about. So it's a very complex question, A, because today you probably for a long time won't draw joy from Torah because you weren't trained that way. You didn't learn Torah when you were 3 and 4. You came to it as an acquired taste. You were wired to enjoy relaxation rather than the toil that Torah takes. So swap out the word joy for the word meaning. But number two, you have to have that balance between joy, but know that it's a Dvar Hashem, and not to cross the line from excitement, pleasure, to flippancy, disrespect, and those areas that, let's say, would treat sports with. It can't be like sports. It can't be trivialized. It has to be reverentialized, but still be enjoyable. How do you create that balance between the two? Most importantly, learn what excites you. Chazal say in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, Ki Mitaras Hashem Cheftzo, based on the pasuk in the beginning of Tehillim, Ein Adam Lamed El Eifa Shali Bochabetz. If you, something that you really find is your Torah and you're excited by that Torah, in yeshiva, follow the curriculum, because it's more important to be a part of yeshiva. When you leave yeshiva, try to find the part of Torah that you feel fits you and excites you, and that will probably ensure the greatest durability of Talmud Torah. Okay, we're out here, but say the good news. Adonai, Adonai. Have a good day, everyone, especially to those who are fasting. No one's fasting for that? What? It's the hop. You know what the hop is? The hop is an old one.
What do you do it now as opposed to? That's the first we made after.
Because you didn't want to say shlichos in the week of Yom HaTzmut. So the hop is the minhag that Am Yisrael has for hundreds of years, that the first full week after Yom Tov, okay, so it would have been last week, the first full week of Yom Tov, people would fast a series of Monday, Thursday, and Monday, and say slichos, in order to purify themselves from the acquired indolence and failures of Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you're not in your routine, you're eating a lot, your family, Lashon Hara, Bracha, Shalom, Bekavana. So people felt that after the Moedim, there has to be some purging, or some catharsis to get rid of the Chatoyim. So it'd be Monday, Thursday, Monday, a series of three fasts accompanied by slichos. It's largely fallen out of favor, but in yeshiva we still say slichos, and there are some people that fast. So many people are fast, and if you feel like you want to fast because of a halom, because you want to do a personal fast, now's a good time to do it. I remember when I was in a more yeshivish environment, they actually did it on Yom HaTzmut. Sometimes it overlaps with Yom HaTzmut, so they said slichos, and then I went and had a separate halloween, and so it's slichos and halloween the same day. But then yeshiva, because of Yom HaTzmut, so you push it off a week since it's only been out.